Very good. Let's take a moment and ask the Lord's blessing. Father, we're thankful for what we have enjoyed these past hours, yesterday and even Friday evening, that which has touched the heart and conscience of children of God, believers, those who have come to know the peace and joy of what forgiveness means. We've come to the last meeting. And for these next 15 minutes, Father, we pray that the Word of God would be used as an arrow to the conscience, and there'd be someone in this audience that would come to know the forgiveness of sins, the joy of knowing a Savior, knowing one who died that they might live. So we ask your blessing as we read the Scriptures together and commit ourselves to Thee in His name. Amen. Now, if you have a Bible, I'm going to ask you to turn with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 13, for the reading of a couple of verses. And as Johnny and Peter did earlier, I too would like to say thank you. I was saying to someone earlier this morning, the pulling off a conference like this is gargantuan. Like, it's huge. When you think of all the folks that were here and the food and all the ordering of things, thank you very much for putting yourselves out for the Lord. I want to read with you just four verses. It's difficult to do. In these few minutes, I just want to read these verses and give you the impact of what Paul was saying as he was preaching these words. And we're jumping in the middle of the story. So verse 38 of Acts 13, Paul the apostle is preaching, is speaking in the city of Antioch. And listen to what he says. Verse 38, I'm reading from the King James Version. It's the Bible I carry. And it says this, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified. The word really is freed. It's a wonderful word. By him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified or freed by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. I want to present in the closing few minutes of this conference the simple basic fact that you need forgiveness. Or, put it this way, your desperate need for forgiveness. Oftentimes, throughout the course of history and throughout our lives, there comes crisis moments in our lives. And whether it's an official or a policeman or an ambulance driver or a fireman, something becomes desperate and everything else is put aside and something becomes foremost. I would like to just take the next 15 minutes and ask you to put this on the front burner, as it were. Make this the most desperate thing in your mind. I have a desperate need for forgiveness. Powerful. Now, let me try and illustrate that for a little bit. I remember years ago reading a little story, and I haven't used it in years. I thought of it today. A little boy's behavior was not so well. And his dad came to him one day, and he said, son, listen. He said, you're sassing your mother back, you're disobeying, you're not doing your chores, you're leaving the barn door open, there's all kinds of... He says, I'm going to have to show you something. Come with me. He took him out to the backyard behind one of the outer buildings there, and he was a post, a 4x4 post in the ground. They had used it before for years. Something was perched in the top, and here it was. He said, I'm going to take a hammer and a nail, and I'm going to put a nail in this post. Every time you disobey me or your mother, or you do something wrong, something you know you're not supposed to do. He said, is that okay? And he put his head down and he says, okay. And he pulled a hammer out and he took a nail and he banged it into that pole. And he said, that's four. And he named what he did wrong. And that boy looked at that nail, put his head down, and walked away. And do you know that over the next few days and weeks and even months, one by one, that boy would do something wrong. And he didn't even realize it. His dad went out back and took a nail and a hammer and pounded into that old 4x4 post. And every now and then, in his chores, he would walk by and he'd look over that post and nails were sticking out of it everywhere. You know, there came a moment in that boy's life and he realized this. What is wrong with me? All I do is wrong. Every time I turn around, I'm saying the wrong thing. I'm disobeying. And he finally said to his dad, how can I get those nails out of that post? He said, by obeying and by doing what you're supposed to do. And he gave him a new list and he says, how about this? And he said, okay, I can do that. And so one morning his dad said to me, he says, come with me. He said, last night you did exactly as we said and thank you very much. And he went out and took the hammer with the old claw on the back and whoosh, pulled the nail out. And the boy looked and he was kind of happy, you know. And over the next few weeks, one by one, the nails came out until finally his dad brought him out to the back and he said, this is a good day. This is a great day. He says, I'm going to pull out the last nail. And he put it down there. He pulled that last nail out. And he said, let this be a lesson to you. He said, there's just something about sin. There's something about our wrong, he says. You've learned this lesson. And the boy stood there. And he looked at the post and he said this. But Dad, the holes are still there. The holes are still there. Now, I don't know the details. I wasn't alive back then when that story was written. Matter of fact, I read that about 35, 40 years ago. But what I do remember reading or hearing was this, that the dad went out, dug around that post, pulled it out, and put in a new 4x4 so the holes would be gone. He wanted his boy to know something. You're forgiven. I want you to understand what Paul said here. He lifts up his hand. He begins to, I wish I could give you the whole chapter. He's telling a historical story. He's telling these people, you took the Son of God. God sent his Son. He actually says this over here in verse 23. He sent his Son. He came unto the house of Israel. He was a savior. They called him Jesus. That's what he says. He goes down in verse 27. He tells them how you took him to the chief priests. They condemned him. And he says in verse 28, even though they found no cause of death in him, yet they desired Pilate to put him to death or that he should be slain. He said, what are you getting at? The whole picture is about the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Paul finally gets this point, he's lifting his hand up. He's in a synagogue. The Jews were all here hanging outside the windows where other people, Gentiles, we know that because as soon as he's done speaking, they flock to him. Tell us more. What did he say? Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are freed. That's a wonderful word. Justified, cleared of guilt, of everything from which the law of Moses could not clear them. Can you imagine? Listen, I want to paint this picture in your mind. Here were all these people. We don't know how many, but let's say there's hundreds like here tonight. All these people were trying to keep a law that told them what not to do. There was nothing wrong with that law. God's word said that law was holy, it was just, it was pure. They were trying to keep a law that could only tell them what not to do. That law could not clear them of guilt if they did what the law said not to do and no one ever kept the law. You have the picture? What a predicament they were in. Here are people trying to achieve, trying to understand how they could be accepted with God. How could I possibly get forgiveness when in the law there's no forgiveness? Thou shalt not tell a lie. I blew that one out long time ago. I want you to picture this. There's something more to the word forgiveness. Oh, by the way, I got two questions for you before we wrap this up. And the first question is this. Have you ever recognized your need for forgiveness? Have you? I went along for years. I went to more conferences than I could possibly count. I grew up near Boston. I was born in the city of Chelsea, filthy little city. And I was born in that little city. We went to Sunday school around that area in a place called East Boston. It's now Saugus, Massachusetts. That's where I grew up. And for years, I sat coming to conferences. We went from conferences all the way up to Nova Scotia, Prince Edward Island, and all the way down to Tampa. and out this way. I don't know how many conferences. I sat like you right here in conference meetings. I listened to Peter Ramsey's father weeping and preaching, and I sat there and wept, and I didn't recognize my need. I didn't for a long time come to recognize my need for forgiveness. Have you ever recognized that need? You see, there's something about forgiveness that also brings up the fact of a debt. You see, my sin, your sin, comes up before God as a debt that I cannot pay. Can you imagine having a debt you can't pay? There are stories in the Bible about that. Jesus told some of himself. Those that had such a debt that no one could pay. And the man who was in charge of the plantation or so, he frankly forgave them both. It's a very beautiful story to a point. Do you ever have a debt you couldn't pay? You see, that's the picture here. You see, my sin had piled up a debt that I could not pay to God. I needed someone who was able, someone who was capable to pay my debt. I think I've told this here before, but a few years ago, my wife and I sat with a doctor and we had incurred a debt. That debt was to the tune of tens of thousands of dollars. It was a medical bill. We were living far from our home. We were stuck out by Washington, D.C. in a hospital. And my wife came down really sick. And to make a long story short, it was our son's trauma surgeon that took my wife, sat her in a wheelchair. She said, "You're a sick woman." And she took her to the ER. They probed her and prodded her, tested her blood. They said, "Your blood level is so low, we can't even operate." They put her in transfusions. I sat with the doctor, and we were distraught. Our son's having surgery every 48 hours. I was so distraught. And the doctor looked at me, and he says, "I've got some bad news for you." He said, "This is an extremely expensive process. Your wife has a tumor. We need to operate in the next 24 hours, or she is going to die." And then they went and did the surgery. I'm going to tell you something. I was looking at a debt, this massive debt that I could not pay. I had no health insurance. And that doctor looked at me. To make a long story short, he said, "I have some papers here. And on here is the total of what you owe for your wife's surgery. And you were broken." He takes up another pile of papers. He said, "On this paper is your son's social security." He read it off. He said, "I want you to understand something. Due to the wounds that your son received in the war," he said, "all of your debt is put on his account. You're free." And we walked out of that room weeping in tears. That man did not know what he said. I want to tell you something today. My sin, your sin, has come up to God as a stench to his nostrils. And as a debt, it's a debt we can't pay. It's an astronomical amount. But the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross. And on that cross, you know, I was just sitting there thinking as Peter was preaching this afternoon, I was just a boy. I don't know, I was maybe 18. I got my first new pickup. It was 1978. And we had a new snowmobile. And we were jumping in that truck, and we were driving up to New Hampshire to do some sledding. And I had a really high-tech stereo. It was an 8-track. Don't laugh, it came with an AM radio. And I remember taking my first 8-track tape. Those that know Kevin Procopio, he took some old records we had, and he burned them through a process, and he put them onto 8-track. I love the 8-track because it just kept playing and playing and playing and playing. It'd go over and over and over. I stuck the 8-track anywhere, cruising up to go do some sledding, and I'm singing. I never heard the man's name before, Bill Gaither. I never heard the words before. "God sent his son." They called him Jesus. He came, he loved, he came to heal and forgive. Listen, I want to tell you something. God sent his son. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's the only one that can forgive sin. The only one. And as Paul reached up his hand and he said these words, he said, "Listen, men and brethren, I want you to understand something. Be it known to you that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." Have you ever been forgiven? I'll never forget one of our children did something terribly wrong. Cost me a lot of money. I can't tell you, the details take too long. And that night at the supper table, I read the Bible story of Achan. What a terrible father. One by one, the tribes came. They were all screaming. You know, it was my son. He knew it. I knew it. The other girl was too young. The other one was afraid to go out in the garage. I knew it was him. And And finally, at the end, we knew it was him. He had actually taken a big old knife and stuck it right to the side of the tire. Psst, putting the hair all over my face, and it was terrible. Anyways, we reprimanded him. And that night, when it was all done, I sat at the edge of his bed, and I prayed with him. I reminded him of this the other day, and he started crying. And I looked at him, and I said, "Doug, we will never talk about this again." He looked at me. "We'll never talk about this again. You know why? You're forgiven. You're forgiven. When God forgave me of my sin, he basically said, we're never going to talk about this again. Not your sin." And what happened on the cross when the Lord of glory was hung between heaven and earth? God took my sin. He took the weight of it. He took the brunt of it. He took the penalty of it. And he took all the punishment of it. And he took it, and instead of putting it on you and me, he took it and he laid it on his own son. And because God sent his son, and because God punished his son on the cross and through the cross, that's why Paul could preach and say this. "Be it known unto you, therefore, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are free." What a wonderful thing. What a horrible thing it is to live knowing you're so bound in the guilt and the, you know, what a horrible thing. I got a piece of paper here. I don't know if they're still here tonight, but this was handed to me a couple weeks ago. Tampa conference. David Procopio. I see his boys here, some of the family, his sister. He came up to me and he pulled me over at supper that night. He said, "You got to listen to this." Just a few, been 3 months ago now. I want to tell you about a 10-year-old boy. His name is Preston. His last name is Gunter. You can look this up. It's in the news. Many news articles on this. Preston Gunter stood in the house with his mother and his grandparents, weeping and sobbing. You see what had happened the day before on November 9th, 2023? This massive tractor-trailer truck driving at 70 miles an hour. They don't know what happened. The cruise was still set. It went off the highway. It went over 1,000 yards. It went down an 8-foot embankment and back up, keeping track, and it made a beeline straight for this large metal garage. In that garage was Chad Gunter, Preston's father, and his brother, Brad. And those two men were in there working, doing their metal shop work, and there was a massive bench so thick and so heavy for working on metal, bolted to the floor. Massive lathes, weights that can't even be calculated. And that truck came through and plowed through, instantly killed Chad Gunter. Buried the other boy, died 3 hours later. What a disaster. That man almost walked away unscathed, except for what they were going to do in the hospital, evaluating his mental status. The next day, do you know what Preston, I got it written down here. Do you know what Preston said, standing in the, probably in the kitchen of that house? He turned to his grandfather and he turned to his mother. He said, "You need to take me to the hospital," he says. "That truck driver needs to know forgiveness." Did you hear that? He's speaking about the man who his crime, his sin was, he killed his own father less than 24 hours before. He looked at his mom. He says, "Mom," he says, "that man can't live in that hospital room not knowing forgiveness. The truck driver needs to know forgiveness." Do you? Do you know forgiveness? You might not be a truck driver, but if you understand your, if you recognize the need for forgiveness, I want to ask you this in closing. Have you ever responded to the offer of forgiveness? What a wonderful thing it is to be forgiven. I want to read to you again what these last two verses we read. It says this: "Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, you despisers, and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work in which you will nowhere or never believe, though a man declare it unto you. Basically what he's saying, he's quoting the prophet, and he's basically saying this: God is at work, and God is forgiving others who recognize their need. You say, why do you say that? We didn't take time to read it, but when Paul was finished preaching, the people who were part of that synagogue, they all left. But the Gentiles came, and they recognized their need. And they came to Paul, and they said, tell us more. Would you come back next Sabbath? Tell us more. We need to know. We need to be able to respond to the offer of forgiveness. Have you responded? God sent his son. He came. He loved and he healed and he forgave. I'm so grateful. We sang that hymn. I was thinking as Peter was speaking up here, not long after I was saved, we got another one of those high-tech devices for the house, an 8-track, and had a big old set of earphones. Saturday night, I'd lay down the living room floor, and I'd put those earphones on and take that old 8-track and stick it in. A guy by the name of George Beverly Shea, and he sang the hymn that we just sang. And I can remember lying there, and I remember the tears going into my ears. Young guy, all kinds of typical young teenage problems in life. But I remember lying there singing the words of this hymn. My conscience felt and owned the guilt and plunged me in despair. I saw my sins, his blood had spilt, and helped to nail him there. The next morning was going to be the time of worship. I was newly part of that fellowship there in East Boston, Massachusetts. And I'm thinking to myself, what must it have been like to be at the cross? What must it have been like? Even the hymn writer that wrote these words, he said that second look he gave, which said, I freely all forgive. There it is. This blood is for thy ransom paid. I die that you may live. Did you catch the chorus of what we sang? The chorus says this: can it be? Can it be upon a tree a Savior died for me? The writer says this. He says, my soul is thrilled. My heart is thrilled and filled to think he died for me. Can I tell you who forgiveness is for? Forgiveness is for those that recognize their need. And forgiveness is for those who respond to the offer. It has been woven all through this conference. It was in our gospel meeting last night. Woven all through, even through the ministry and the teaching. Woven all through, even from the beginning of this conference at the prayer meeting on Friday night, is this fantastic theme. And that is this: God sent his son to pay the debt of my sin, and you can be forgiven. And even the believer, we live constantly in the joy of understanding forgiveness. Let me close by asking you a question. Are you forgiven? When the Lord Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, and he settled the debt, and he paid it once for all, was it for you? I mentioned this somewhere recently. I don't know where it was. I was far away having gospel tent meetings, and we didn't have phones back then, so you went to a phone booth, you know those things. And I got to the phone booth, and I hit the buttons, called home. And my wife picked right up. She said, hi, dear, hold on. She hands the phone to my daughter. She's going to be 40 years old in a few weeks. And she said, Dad, it's finished. Dad, she said, it's finished. I'm forgiven. And I wept. Are you forgiven? Have you come into the good of the finished work of Christ on the cross? For him to pay to God the mighty debt of your sin and mine is just, you can't even begin to explain it. What a wonderful thing it would be if you came into the good of this verse. Be it known unto you, therefore, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Trust Christ tonight and have your sins forgiven. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for such powerful messages from Paul. When we follow the 14 times that the gospel was heralded forth in the book of the Acts, we see differences in every one of them, but it all gets to the same point. Father, we're so thankful for a Savior. Those of us that know Him, those of us who have come to trust and to rest in that finished work, we have enjoyed that sometimes of some of us for years. And tonight there are those here, Father, and they have yet to recognize Your need for forgiveness. And they have yet to respond to the offer. It would be the desire of each one here that knows Christ, and our prayer would be that before this weekend was over, someone would come to know the great, great offer of forgiveness. We trust there'll be no one here who will despise it, maybe wonder at it and perish. Father, touch hearts, we pray. Move in salvation as we commit ourselves to Thee. We give thanks for all that has transpired this weekend. We give thanks for food that is provided down the cafeteria, for the goodness of God, the goodness of God's people. But above all things, we desire that God would be honored, the Lord Jesus would be honored, and someone coming to know Him this weekend. We commit ourselves to Thee as we leave this room in His name.